The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Good morning. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for getting up early on this Sunday morning and joining me. And last week we had on the show with us Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist. He practices at East Hilliard Veterinary Services. And all he does is teeth, although he's a veterinarian, which I think is pretty cool. And so what we did is we talked about cats and dogs and that sort of thing, and we, towards the end of the show, we kind of realized that we weren't going to have time to cover all of the exotic animals that Dr. Klein has worked on and continues to work on. And he mentioned some things like a polar bear and some others, so we're going to get to that here in just a minute. And let me just give you some background on Dr. Klein. He's a 1983 Michigan State University graduate of the Veterinary College and is currently an adjunct professor of dentistry at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. He has served as a board member of the Capital Area Humane Society and is a past president of the Ohio Veterinary Medical Association and board member of the American Veterinary Dental Society. Dr. Tom is also co-owner, along with his veterinarian wife, Sue, of East Hilliard Veterinary Services. This is a small animal and exotics hospital in Hilliard, started in 1987. Dr. Tom sees dental referral cases from a multi-state area around Ohio for many types of oral, dental, and facial conditions in all animal species. Dr. Klein, thank you so much for getting up and coming back and being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here again.
I can't wait to get to today's topic, but as you know, before I do, I usually give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and I realized that, and last week you helped me with that you gave me the question of the day, and I realized after we went off the air that we never gave the answer. So therefore, we're going to use that as the question of the day again, and that'll give some listeners a chance to call in their guesses as well. And that question was, what percent of a general veterinary practice is spent on dental care? All right, so that's the question of the day. Again, what percent of general veterinary practice, general veterinary practice, is spent on dental care? Feel free to give us a call at 821-1230 or send us an email to dentallyspeaking@yahoo.com. One more announcement before we move on to questioning Dr. Klein is, on December 6th and 7th, the Kroger Marketplace Women's and Family Expo is going to be held at the Ohio Expo Center in the Celeste Building. It's on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 and on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And callers to the show, if you would like to qualify for free tickets, you can call us at 821-1230 and we'll put your name in a drawing for free tickets, as well as you can also call in to be considered for free tooth whitening, which will take place actually at the expo. So I think that's a pretty good deal. And the reason that we need you to call in and we'll take your number and your name is because we need to make sure you're actually a good candidate for whitening. We wouldn't want to whiten your teeth and have that one front tooth that's a crown now be brown and have you go around very unhappy with us. So we want to make sure that we've selected the right person. Okay, so Dr. Klein was nice enough to not only get up this morning, but he also sent me some pictures of a polar bear that he was working on. And we're going to do our best to get them up on my page of our website. And so while I'm mentioning that, let me tell you that this show is available by podcast by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. And that takes you to the homepage of the station. And when you're there, one of the icons you can hold your mouse over is on air. hold your mouth there. A list of all of the on-air talent comes up. I guess we use the word talent loosely in my case, but there are some talented people there, like Laura Ingraham and Quinnen Rose and Jim Rome and Dave Ramsey and Gary Sullivan. And so down there at the bottom, after Dr. Dean Adel, is Dr. Kvitko. Click on that. Takes you to my page. And hopefully, our webmaster will be able to get these photos up. I think it's really cool. One of them is a close-up of Dr. Oh, he's pointing, showing me how which way's up. He's showing me the, because I printed them off, and actually this canine that I'm looking at, Dr. Klein was doing a root canal on a polar bear canine, and he's showing me that this is a lower canine instead of an upper canine, which, you know, who knew? So anyway, Dr. Klein, I understand that that was Coda. That was Coda the polar bear at the Pittsburgh Zoo, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It was Coda. Coda is there with his brother, and he's about a year and a half old, almost 2 years old now with his brother, and I have a picture of him and his brother in their little habitat out there with some snow around him.
and the brother, is the brother the one that's just kind of peeking over the snow-covered edge?
That's correct.
Okay.
He's just showing his head.
He wants to see if that his brother's okay. All right, this is really neat. So give me the circumstances of, first of all, how did they know Coda had a toothache? How did you know that it was an abscess tooth that needed a root canal? And then later on, a little bit about the circumstances of when the procedure was actually going on.
Well, as you know, with many of our zoo animals, they have personnel that take care of them, and these polar bears each have a keeper. In this circumstance, his job was to observe the polar bears every day, watch their feeding, watch to make sure everything looks normal on them. And Coda's keeper had noticed a slight swelling underneath his jaw, and that the Coda wasn't eating as well for a day prior to that, before he saw that. And then he saw a little discharge coming out of his chin. And he can't get very close to a polar bear. As you know, they look like they should be friendly, but sometimes they can be playful and not so friendly.
You know, I would not have, I guess I would not have known that inherently, but I went to Yosemite several years ago and saw the video of those brown bears literally ripping car doors off of an automobile to get at the picnic basket inside.
That's right. We see the cute little cubs, and although they may not be very dangerous, certainly the larger ones are, and he's kind of an adolescent, little juvenile male polar bear, and so he could be quite dangerous if he decided to.
So there was pus coming out basically his chin, and luckily that was noticed, because not all abscesses can create this fistula's tract and drain. Could this have been life-threatening had it not created that fistula's tract?
That's correct. The pressure that would build up may cause him to go off of his food, and if this bacteria had gone into his system rather than drained outwardly, it could have caused him to get very ill and possibly have been a fatal infection by the time they noticed it.
And then after the, and I'm going to ask you, the root canal that you did, do you use the same material as I would use in a patient? What is the filling material itself?
Well, the filling material is, we use a cement similar to what we would do for people, although you can expect that the tooth is very, very large. If you put your thumb out there and you doubled the size of it, that would probably be the size of this canine tooth.
Two thumbs?
Two thumbs for the size of the crown.
Wow.
It's very, very large, and it is exciting to work on something like that. And as you talked about in some of your previous sessions about the root canal or the pulp canal, extremely large in this young polar bear, so it's a really large cavity going down inside the tooth itself. And it had quite a bit of infection present, so you can imagine how much better he felt getting that out of there.
Yeah, now the two thumbs, is that the part of the tooth that is visible above the gum line?
That's
only like one-third of the whole length of the tooth. So now we're talking about, would you say the root was 6 inches long, 8 inches, or six?
I would probably say about 6 inches total based on what the x-ray had shown. It's very, very long.
Really long, okay. And do you use, so you use like an 8x10 x-ray plate like you would use for, say, a lateral Ceph or a X-ray piece skull in a human?
Yeah, we would actually use a large X-ray plate as opposed to using dental films because they would be too small for this patient.
And I'm assuming that no one has digital available yet, so you have to wait for the X-ray to develop?
Now they do have digitals, but most of the zoos don't tend to use them because of the circumstances of wild animals, and you can imagine how much destruction they could cause if they happen to move inadvertently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those sensors, just the sensor that I have in my office is about $12,000 for one, and it's about the size of a 50-cent piece, and so I imagine one that's 8 by 10 would be, what, $300,000
right,
or something?
That's right.
And one yank from the polar bear would not be good. So the cement you use, now mm-hmm. see, we use gutta percha, which mm-hmm. is a rubber.
Yes.
Are you using gutta percha?
Absolutely, we sure are.
Okay, and can you buy it in big chunks?
It's like, and you may be more familiar with the term than I am because I borrowed it from a human dentist, but it's a really large, almost looks like bulk gutta percha, large cylinders of that.
And then the heated gutta percha technique.
Yeah,
okay.
That's correct. We heat it up so okay. that it forms to the canal, and once we have it all cleaned and sterilized and dried, we put the cement down, and then we'll go ahead and put the gutta percha or the filling agent down in there right. in small increments of it being warmed.
Okay, and then the hole that you have to make to get at the pulp tissue, what do you place there? Silver composite?
We use a composite agent, so we put it in several layers, try to make it as strong as we could.
Is there any filing that's done, like we file, or is this so big that you just literally just rinse it out, clean it out?
Yeah, in this case, because he was so young, the walls were very smooth, and it was hard to get an actual file down in there, although we tended to put several files twisted together down inside and tried to get some type of cleaning action on the bottom part of the apex of the root as much as we could. You have to kind of use your judgment on some of these wild animals.
And how many millimeters? I mean, I can buy 35 millimeter long files, and you can buy their 6-8 inch long files?
I have specific endodontic files that are made for bears, actually, and they're about 7 inches long.
So we can thank Yogi the bear for that?
Yeah, that's right, Yogi.
At least we can do bear root canals. That's interesting. he woke up. But now antibiotics, you would give him the same antibiotic I might give a human?
Yes, that's correct. They actually use a product called clindamycin. I'm not sure if that's
pretty strong. Yeah, we use that.
And they use it in their food.
Oh, they have, okay. And a human dose would be 150 milligrams 3 times a day. What would it be for, you said 700-pound polar bear?
Yeah, he was 700 pounds. I think they gave him 1,000 milligrams twice a day.
1,000
mm-hmm.
twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 10 times almost,
yes.
Or about 8 times. Wow. That's really interesting. And the way, now, when we come back, and I'm not sure how soon we have to go to a break, we have just a short time. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to explain the circumstances that people are going to see when they go to our website, the surrounding actually having this work done or doing the work. There are several people in this picture. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the one... maybe isn't even in the picture, but had a very interesting job that you had explained to me earlier, and I'm going to wait till we come back for the break for you to explain that. There's somebody constantly taking his temperature. There's somebody watching their watch, I assume, to see how long he's been sedated. And then there'll be others. So it is time to take a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and when we come back, we'll hear from Dr. Tom Klein about the circumstances of when he did the root canal on Coda, the polar bear, at the Pittsburgh Zoo.
You make me smile. Never thinking that it could be so.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but were too numb to ask. And I'm guessing that even though you were numb, you didn't think to ask about root canals on polar bears and dentistry on elephants and that sort of thing. But we are lucky enough today to have in the studio with us Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist, and he practices at the East Hilliard Veterinary Services along with his veterinarian wife, Sue. Some of you know that my daughter will be a veterinarian come this May or June. I forget when the graduation ceremonies are actually held, but I'm sure I'll find out soon enough. And So we spent last week talking about cats and dogs and, you know, those types of animals. And this week we're talking about all of the exotic animals that Dr. Klein has been involved with. And most recently, or in our discussion at least, was root canal Oncota, the polar bear from the Pittsburgh Zoo. And if you go to the website, if we're lucky, if everything goes well, there'll be some photographs that you'll be able to see, a few photographs Dr. Klein brought. And one of them shows Coda actually under anesthesia being worked on. So, Dr. Klein, tell me, you know, who's doing what in that photo, and what are the circumstances that, for instance, I think you told me that his brother wasn't so happy about this.
Yes, his brother was right outside the reinforced area where Coda was, and he was pacing the entire time and kind of pushing against the gate, so it was kind of unnerving to hear him out there anxious to see what was happening with his brother. In the photo, there's quite a few people, and you can imagine with a 750 to 800-pound polar bear, it requires quite a few people to help handle him once he's under anesthesia. So in the photo, there's several veterinarians there that are the zoo veterinarians, which they do a tremendous job over there. They're in charge of the anesthesia, and I'm so glad that they were able to do that for me.
Yeah, because what is the dose for a 750-pound polar? I mean, is it also 10 times as much as maybe a human? Or
I don't think it is relatively, but it is a pretty high dose, and it's a pretty fast anesthetic that they give as a dart, and then they go to sleep, and then they use gas anesthesia afterwards.
Okay, so they keep them sedated once they've put them down, so to speak. So you have a couple veterinarians. You have there's somebody with looking at their watch, mm-hmm. which I assume is timing how long they've been under anesthesia. And then in the little room, there's a gentleman back there. Let's see, I think I actually met. Yeah, there's seven people. So what happens if he wakes up before it's time?
Well, what you don't see in the picture is behind me in the photo is a gentleman that's back behind us with a dart rifle. And if for some reason Coda gets up and decides he wants to eat us or leave, his job is to go ahead and tranquilize him. So he's right behind me while I'm working very close to Coda's head. And I was hoping that he was very experienced in this. If that happened, if circumstance happened to happen.
Yeah, because you're physically fit. You've done an Ironman, but you're probably still no match for a 750-pound polar bear.
I don't think I could outrun him in that short of a space.
This is really cool. Now, and I think it'd be great to be involved in this type of thing, and I think I even told you off the air that I'd be happy to help out any way that I can as a dentist if you ever have another case that you need help.
Oh, I'd be happy to call you.
I'll give you my number. I had heard that elephants, for example, get four sets of teeth in their life, and that there's some thinking that if they could have a fifth or a sixth set, that they would live longer.
That's correct. Most, and although my experience in elephants is limited, I have some of my associates that I know very well that work on them fairly regularly, and the sets of teeth that you're speaking of are actually their molars, their premolars and molars in the back of their mouth, and those come in one at a time. They're gigantic teeth, if you can imagine, and they come in the back of the mouth, and they work their way forward. And then they get replaced by another one in the back of the mouth that works its way forward. There is a limit to how many teeth they have there, and in the zoos they tend to be taken care of very well by the veterinarians and the keepers, and so they tend to wear their teeth out and run out of the ability to be able to chew and digest their foods that they're on. So if that was the case, and we could actually put in a very large implant in some of our senior elephants, I think that would probably be helpful for them to maintain their body weight as they get older.
Yeah, so it really is true that, and I use this parallel with humans because I explain to my patients who maybe aren't taking the best care of their mouth that if, you know, elephants die when they wear out the last set of teeth, and it kind of helps me show them how important teeth are, and we could place implants in elephants, I'm assuming, if we actually had one large enough, but there's no manufacturer that makes them that large, right?
And also, it's very difficult to get into an elephant's mouth. It's kind of like looking into a rabbit's mouth. They don't open their mouth very wide, and so it would be hard to get in. I guess if you get a really large one, you could get a small dentist to climb in there, but most of the time, it's very difficult to actually reach inside there and be able to do the work.
I'm trying to remember the name of the children's book that where the mouse was the dentist and the lion wanted to had a toothache, and the mouse was afraid that as soon as he stepped in the mouth to work on it, that the lion was going to eat him, and he promised that he wouldn't, and he didn't. So happy ending to that children's book. But I do remember reading that to my children. Now, let's see here. How are we doing? We're almost, we have like 1 minute before the break, so this may be one of those cases where I get to ask the question, but you don't have time to answer until after the break. I have heard that if a male lion, for example, is missing the front canine or has it broken, that it can no longer assert dominance over the other male lions, that it loses, or maybe it's the female lions no longer respect it. Do you know what I'm talking about, and am I right?
Yes, I think that has to do more with their ability to either breed and or fight in their pride of lions. So I'll certainly be able to elaborate on that after the break.
Sure. Okay, that'd be great. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. And today in the studio with us, we have Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist. Dr. Klein practices strictly dentistry as a veterinarian. He practices at East Hilliard Veterinary Services along with his wife Sue, who is also a veterinarian. And their practice is a small animal and exotics hospital in Hilliard that was started in 1987. And Dr. Klein graduated from Michigan State University in 1983, and we won't hold that against him because we beat Michigan State this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's all fun. I have a hygienist from the University of Michigan, and of course, you know, we have one room at the office that's the Buckeye room, and she happens to wind up cleaning a lot of teeth in that room around football season, so, and we just don't know how that happens. The other thing is I want to remind people that you can call in and be considered for a free whitening that would take place at the Kroger Marketplace Women's and Family Expo that will take place December 6th and 7th at the Ohio Expo Center, the Celeste Building. We are a co-sponsor of that, Dr. Kvitko and Associates is. And it's Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 11 to 4. And actually, both days, I think it's 11:30 or 12 on one day and 11:30 on the next. Actually, I can't remember right now. I will be giving a short 20-minute seminar to anybody who's interested in explaining how I do my trial smiles, my smile makeovers, basically. So, remember, our phone number is 821-1230, or you can send us an email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. Let's get right back into our questions for Dr. Klein and Dr. Tom. And he had started to tell us a little bit about... we were talking about, let's see, we're talking about elephants and implants, and then we went on to lions and how lions, if they are missing a cuspid or have a broken cuspid, that it inhibits their ability to be dominant, basically.
Yeah, that's correct. And in the wild, if that tooth is fractured, that large fang tooth or cuspid, it could be a sore tooth, which would not allow them to... fight, I guess, if you want to say, for dominance with some of the other males that are coming in to try to take over the dominance of the pride there, and also just generally they're not feeling well because their root canals could be open, they could have infections. So
I've heard of cases where gold crowns have been placed on these teeth to recreate the shape. Is that, have you done that, or is that?
I haven't done that for a lion. We have done that for other species too. Actually, in fact, I think I did do one for a lion at the Columbus Zoo, and it was a stainless steel crown that that went over the crown, the existing crown, so they wouldn't break it anymore.
Okay, so it was probably cast by, say, a partial denture lab out of Italian, the same thing we make partial dentures out of?
That's correct, and it looks just like the crown, except it covers over the existing part of the tooth that you would see, so that'll help to protect it when that... lion would bite down on objects.
Okay, so what we're saying is here's a case where one tooth would determine whether this lion gets to mate or not.
Yeah, I think that is very true, and it also goes to how healthy that lion's going to be for its whole life. One of the other things that I would also elaborate on in terms of in the wild or with zoos. There's also preserves, as you can imagine, out in Africa and these other areas where these lions are naturally based. And there's a foundation by a human dentist, Dr. Peter Emily from Colorado, that he has funded programs to go out to these preserves, temporarily anesthetize these lions and do full oral exams and repair them so that they can have a long, healthy life. Isn't that amazing that they can do that?
Yeah, that's really cool. So it's in a preserve in the sense that there's probably some fence. It's so many square. It's a square mile, a large area.
Very large area.
It's not a zoo, but so they're living in the wild, so to speak, but they can somehow corral them if they need to.
That's correct. They would use a dart tranquilizer gun, and it's very, very interesting how much better these lions' lives are because of this foundation.
Wow, that's really neat. Is there, I wonder if we have any more information if people want to look it up or
I think
help
if
out.
if you would Google Dr. Peter Emily, E-M-I-L-Y,
okay.
And I'm sure it would have links to his foundation.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. And I would imagine he probably has some photos and some things, some examples of
animals sure
that, that he has helped. I had some friends that went on an African safari. I don't mean to kill animals. I meant just to view them. I guess the old connotation isn't positive, but just to, with a camera,
mm-hmm.
and really spectacular. Something that I hope to be able to do someday. So, the lions, then, you haven't put a crown on, but you... Well, I'm sorry, you have put a crown mm-hmm. on, just not the gold one. Now, okay, do the lionesses prefer gold over silver?
I don't know if perhaps they're a little bit colorblind, like a lot of the animals are. They may not be able to tell the difference.
Okay. Well, that's probably just as well. So it's not really a fashion statement.
No.
It doesn't have to be tooth-colored.
No,
I guess
it does not.
The serious part of that question is, would they notice this is a gold or a silver tooth and maybe be bothered by that? Or enamored by that, who knows?
That's right.
All right, so now there is a kind of a tooth, and I know rabbits have it. I thought horses do, but I understand that I'm wrong on that. There's certain animals that have teeth that continually grow. Rather than falling out and being replaced, they continue to grow. And in my household, we had a rabbit called Oni, because it was our Oni bunny that we had at the time. And he had an underbite, which means his teeth didn't contact, which means those teeth continued to grow and grow, and we had to take him to the vet to have them filed down. Otherwise, he would not have been able to eat. So besides rabbits, what other animals have teeth that continually grow?
Well, if you think about the animals and in people, it's the same thing, that dental structures follows their function. So if you can imagine a chinchilla, who's usually down at the base of the Andes Mountains trying to eat roots and things like that, they have very strong teeth that continually grow through their lives, and they have to chew all the time. Or let's say a beaver that always has to chew and chew on bark, their teeth continually grow. Kangaroos and other animals that have that same sort of diet have to continually chew to wear their teeth down. And if you have a problem like Oni did, your rabbit, where the teeth don't exactly match up, then they're going to overgrow. They can grow really, really long and curl back. And some of those rabbits either require extractions of those teeth or routine filing to keep them at a normal level so that they can eat normally.
So we need to go to a break, but I do have a follow-up question to what you just said there. And I'm going to ask the question real quick, and then I'll get your answer after the break. I thought if they continually grew, you wouldn't have to extract them, that you would always be able to file them down. So now I'm beginning to think maybe the inside hollow part where the nerves and blood vessels are must also grow, and it grows down too far. But you can tell me that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. And we are talking to Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist, and we'll get more answers and to our questions from him when we return. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And last week and this week, we have been fortunate enough to have with us on our show, right here in the studio, Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist. I have a special interest in that since my daughter will be a veterinarian here soon. And, of course, we've always had pets, but this week we're talking about exotic animals, polar bears, lions, elephants. And right before the break, we were talking about animals like chinchillas and rabbits and beavers whose teeth continue to grow. And if you don't get your pet to the vet soon enough so that they can file these teeth down, if they haven't been able to wear them down naturally, Dr. Klein mentioned that one possibility would be extract the teeth, and the other would be filing them down. So when do you do one over the other, and what happens if you actually extract the front two teeth of a rabbit? Do they die because they can no longer eat, or what happens?
Well, if the rabbit is presented at a relatively younger age, and I would consider that to be 2 years of age or less, and they have problems with those front teeth overgrowing. They have six incisors. They have two on the top, or two on the bottom, two on the top, and then two small ones behind the two upper ones. And the lower incisors, the lower front teeth, those two fit in between the two rows on top. And okay. So typically that is very, they have to keep that very close. And if they're off, like your rabbit had an underbite, then they tend to overgrow. And in those cases, I leave it to the owner, because I tell them that they usually have to come in about every 5 to 6 weeks for filing of the teeth, or we can elect to extract those front teeth, and they will be gone permanently. And the rabbit adjusts very well to that, because they have a lot of teeth behind there, too. They have premolars and molars to chew on their on their grasses and hay that they eat. So that is a very acceptable alternative in a younger rabbit, too.
Okay, so they'll just adjust. Beaver, not so much.
Yeah, beavers. Beavers would be a little harder, because those front teeth are extremely long.
And in the case of a beaver, they probably never, you never have to worry about them not wearing them down properly. But I guess there would be such a thing as a beaver being born with a malocclusion. And in the wild, that beaver would perish, correct?
That's correct. I don't think I've ever seen one or saw a skull of one. They probably wouldn't be able to survive because they couldn't function properly.
I want to change this subject just a little bit to racehorses. Obviously, that's big business. And I'm curious, I think with horses, I don't think the owners want them anesthetized any more than they have to. And are you able to get an x-ray of a horse's tooth or teeth while they're still awake, or do you have to wait till they're anesthetized to x-ray them?
You have to wait until they're anesthetized. They have very strong jaws, and if you put a film cassette inside their mouth, they wouldn't do that. But the good news is now it's very scientifically done. They have excellent sedatives for horses. They remain standing during the procedure, and they have little things that they put in their mouth to open their mouth so that it's safe for the operator or the dentist to work on them. And you can take excellent intraoral x-rays similar to what you may take with your patients, although we don't use digital for the same reasons that we don't want them to damage the cassette, so we actually end up using the standard cassettes.
Okay, so then you have to wait 5 minutes, 6 minutes for the x-ray to develop.
That's correct.
And when you sedate them, they're standing up. Do you have some kind of a sling under their underbelly? Because their legs are going to get rubbery, so they're...
Yes, that's right. They're usually in a stanchion or a stall, and typically they will have a support for their head that it sits in. And their body, they don't tend to lay down. They can, but their head droops, and so you can actually set their head in a nice padded little, just kind of like a little chin holder for them, if you will, and you could work on them very safely that way.
And do you do fillings in horses, silver or composite fillings in horses, too?
Some fillings are done, although I'm not an equine dentist per se, specifically. Most of the time it involves manually either filing their teeth down if they have points that grow up, or filling in areas, say in an older horse, that they can continue to eat normally as they age.
Okay. And horse teeth are different than other animals. They don't continually grow, but there's something about them that makes them different. I'm trying to remember what that is.
They continually erupt. And so they have what's called a reserve crown, that they continually wear their teeth to a certain point. However, their roots are fixed, so they'll get to be a certain age, and then their teeth don't erupt anymore, and then they wear down.
I get it. So the roots might be 10 millimeters. No, I guess in horses that'd be more like 10 inches below the gum line. And there might be, we'll say, a 4-inch crown. And then as it erupts, that 4-inch crown gets worn down to a 3.5, to a 3, to a 2. There comes a point where...
Yeah, it keeps erupting throughout their life to a certain point, and then it stops erupting, usually when they're in their 20s, and then it wears down, and then it's difficult for them to chew like they did when they were younger.
Okay. Very interesting. This is really cool stuff. We do have to go to a break. We're talking to Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist, and stick with us because we have many more questions for him. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be right back.
Smile a little smile for me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And I'm honored to have as my guest in the studio this week and last, Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist. He practices at East Hilliard Veterinary Services along with his veterinarian wife, Sue. And Dr. Klein, so many interesting things we've talked about so far. Can you give me stories of like some other just cool things that you get to do?
I'd be happy to. If there's enough time to talk about all of them, I can talk about a pot-bellied pig that we worked on over at the Columbus Zoo, which I can say the Columbus Zoo veterinarians do an excellent job and their keepers with great diets for their animals there, so they don't have as many dental problems as some other zoos might have. And I know your producer, Tom, has a pot-bellied pig,
yeah.
So he'll like this story. And this was a one that was surrendered to the zoo. I guess it was getting too large, and he had an infected tusk. And they're very, very large, these tusk teeth. And that took several hours for us to surgically extract because they go way back into their jawbone. The poor guy, you know, he was a long time under anesthesia, but he did quite well afterwards. So.
And that didn't affect his ability to function afterwards with just one tusk?
No, not at all. He's got such a great diet at the zoo there. I'm sure he's probably gained another 100 pounds since. that was a very interesting case. We also had the opportunity at the Columbus Zoo to work on Cola. And Cola was one of the, I think, the first gorilla born in captivity in the nation, and was at the Columbus Zoo.
Wow.
And Cola was, I think, about 43 years old when she was telling her keeper she had an abscess. She kept pointing to her tooth.
Wow.
And the keepers really know their gorillas well, and we had her under anesthesia and took some dental x-rays, and she had an infected cuspid that had to be extracted. Because we couldn't save it, and
so it was also rotten.
It was
just
rotten.
An abscess.
Yeah,
okay.
The root was completely abscessed, and we had to surgically remove that. And she did very, very well after the procedure. But it's just amazing how human-like these gorillas are. There's just such a variety of animals to see at the Columbus Zoo, and they have so many issues with other health problems, but the dental ones that we see come to mind is we saw a couple of kangaroos also that had abscesses, and they just won't eat when they get that problem. They're very difficult to work on because you can't open their mouth very much.
Yeah.
And so we have to use a lot of mirrors and special instruments to get in and take x-rays. Usually involves extracting diseased teeth in theirs, and they do very well in terms of gaining weight again.
Now, do you have these specialized instruments, or do the zoos have them on hand? Where do these things come from?
I usually bring them. I have, I'm sure like you do, you have a lot of instruments for different specialty conditions in teeth that you see. And we've actually had to make a few ourselves, too.
Okay. So you make it, and then, how do you autoclave a 10-inch or, let's say a 2-foot-long something? I guess you have to go to the hospital for something like that.
Yeah, most of the time you have to find a large autoclave to accommodate some of the larger instruments that we'll have to use.
Okay, and are any of them truly just, a great big drill that you might see somebody drilling into concrete with that you've had to sterilize?
Not quite that large, but there are a lot of things that we use that we attach to a standard battery-powered drill.
Okay.
That are sterile, and you have to put a shroud on them to make them sterile when you use them.
Wow, that sounds really neat. Sounds like a very exciting occupation that you have, and I just really think it's cool. I want to thank you for being my guest and coming back 2 weeks in a row like this. That was very nice of you. I know you're a busy guy, and for all I know, when you leave here, you're going to have to go and take care of a giraffe or something. But before we go, I would like to go... Oh, we have to give the answer to the question of the day. Boy, I almost forgot 2 weeks in a row. The answer to the question of the day is 10%. Approximately 10%. Of a general veterinary practice is spent on dental care. Okay, I'm so glad I remembered that. Dr. Klein, thanks so much for being with us. Your phone number again?
614-876-7762.
Great, great. Appreciate that. All right, tune in next week. I'm not sure who my guest is going to be at this moment, but it will be interesting, so get up early and tune in. Thank you very much.